You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Monday. It seems like we've been out and on and in and out of this show a few times this last 2-3 weeks. Holidays are over. Let's play some ball. Do you think that, today's show I have my son, my tax write-off, Matt Moreno. Go easy, cats.
Thanks for having me, Steve. People are going to start thinking I'm really your son. You say it enough.
That's fine. I roll my R, Moreno. My boy Tom Callahan in the booth.
Steve, how you doing? Matt?
Fine, thanks.
We're going to talk
about a lot of different things here. Arizona football, they just hired a defensive line coach. Good luck with that. And basketball, men's basketball, they won decisively over the weekend. Don't read too much into that. And women's basketball lost yesterday. And I thought they gave it a good effort, so don't get carried away with a loss. What do you think about my impressions of all three?
Pretty good.
Or concerns for all three?
I thought there was going to be a real downer of a start to the show with how you started, but no, I think it's accurate.
Accurate?
Yeah,
it's accurate. You and I kind of think alike, which is sad.
Yeah.
Which is sad for you, son.
Yeah, I know.
This is your future.
I'm slowly morphing into Steve.
Sorry to say that.
I already understand you.
You do.
Much better than a lot of people.
You're correct. It started a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of have that Steve Dakota ring. That didn't come in a Cracker Jack box, obviously. Mine's more expensive.
Yeah, I had to get that special order.
Tom, you've kind of already spent a lot of time with me. You understand my gibberish.
I do, and I would have said it was a generational thing, but, I mean, Matt's just a young pup, so
yeah.
Maybe it's a sports thing.
He's an old soul.
Mm.
He's an old soul.
Also, I think you need to have that little bit of cynicism mixed in.
Oh, I have a lot of that cynicism
mixed
in.
Yes.
So, let's go with the NFL real quick, just because it's just happened yesterday. What did you think about the weekend games? Great games.
I loved it. I mean, outside of the Bills losing, I was disappointed by that, obviously, being a born and raised Bills fan. But nice to see the Patriots knocked off early.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that. And actually very surprised and very pleased with the effort of the Tennessee Titans. I thought they were good. I was surprised by the Vikings. I thought New Orleans was going to be better, and they just weren't.
They just weren't at home. I had picked them to win it all, actually, a while back. Saints did. Yeah, it's par for the course. Every decision I've made this year has been wrong. But this is 2020, and you're listening to 2020. So maybe that'll be better in 2020 for all of us. Good games, fun games to watch, last possession games almost pretty much.
Yeah.
Moreno?
Doesn't that just pretty much guarantee that next week's games or this week's games are just going to be terrible?
Odds will give you that. And then the winners of this week will probably not move on.
No. I'm a Packers fan, so.
Are you?
Yeah.
Seahawks-Packers is going to be a good game.
Yeah, actually,
I'm looking forward to that.
I don't mind that one. I know everyone, like the rest of my family's all Packers fans, and they were like, well, maybe Philadelphia will pull it out. We have the easier path. And I said, no, I like the Seahawks. I want to see.
Do you believe in that easier path? You've been doing this a while now. You're kind of not a kid anymore.
The rest of my family isn't sports writers, Steve, so they don't get it. I get it.
You get that it's no such thing.
It doesn't matter.
It's funny because everyone talks about this, and Arizona fans should know this by now. After all these years, there is no easy path. Oh, get to play in the West. Play in L.A.
Get to play Buffalo.
Get to play L.A. Play to Utah where the fans will come and travel well, and it'll be like a home court advantage. Shut up. It never works out that way. It just doesn't.
No. It's going to come down to whoever has the most talented team, especially in the NFL.
And how you play that day.
I've started kind of making that my everyday kind of thought process. It goes through my head now when I'm writing stories and stuff.
I've hit it hard with it.
I've heard it enough times from you, Steve.
But isn't it true?
It's true. No, I get it.
Isn't it true? I mean, it's funny. A friend of mine texted me yesterday when New Orleans lost, because him and I were thinking the same thing in New Orleans. I says, now you kind of realize nothing matters in the regular season. It just doesn't. It's kind of jockeying position for your playoff spot, but okay, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. I think New Orleans lost their situation when the Seattle lost to San Francisco. It would have been totally different, the matchups. That's when they lost it. Maybe circumstance, if and the nuts and candies and nuts or whatever.
Yeah, I do think the thing that you learn throughout the regular season, I think we're seeing it right now with Arizona basketball, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, but you learn what deficiencies the team has just at its core.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when they lose a game, lose an NCAA tournament game, lose a playoff game, you say you can point to a lot of those things and say, no, they did this that we saw in week six, so we know that was they were capable of being that team.
Correct. In fact, they've got 13 games into there. 14 games. Okay, so let's make a prediction now, and we'll write this. We'll have Tom be our secretary here. We'll put it on the board and say, if Arizona were to lose in March, okay, we only get one chance at this, man. If Arizona to lose at March, what would be that one deficiency?
There's a few.
Yeah,
I think you only get one. I think the number one is that Zeke Nagy doesn't get enough touches.
Okay, I'll give you that. It's kind of like the Lori Markkanen approach when they lost to Xavier in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
He didn't get the ball when he needed to get the ball. Okay. Tom, you want to play this game?
You know what, Steve? I'm going to say it's because they don't shoot well enough from the floor.
Well, see, that was going to be mine too. Can I piggyback off that?
Yeah.
Okay, so that'll be my choice. That was definitely going to be my choice. At some point, that's going to get them. They haven't shot the ball well since I asked. Is this the best shooting team you've ever had?
You jinxed them.
Well, hell yeah, yeah.
He's probably not going to let you back. Yeah, you're not gonna be allowed in the press conferences anymore.
Well, no, he hasn't just pointed it out to me yet because he rips me into. So you want to run? I'm sure he's kind of diminished that already because they're not going to run as much as they did. You know,
you're going to ask him to run more.
What's that?
You're going to ask him to run more?
No. I've learned my lesson. They're not going to. Don't you think?
I think we've already started to see that shift in terms of a lot of things. It's starting to turn into the normal Arizona season. I'm sure we've already seen the rotation is starting to shrink a little bit. You're starting to see them not run as much, and I think it's just going to turn into the typical kind of Arizona season.
They'll run when they had the chance, like they did against ASU. They didn't do it a whole lot, and ASU likes to run. They're a bad team.
Yeah, they're ASU's not good. They were very unimpressive.
But I totally agree with you because you can start seeing it that they're not going to run as much. And we'll get into the new roles that he didn't talk about, but they're new roles. We'll kind of guess at what he's done or what he's doing. We'll see. Where is I going to go with this?
I don't know. But I still think that... that to me, Zeke Nagy is when I watched the game against ASU, I said that he's going to be the key, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. And they went to him early and often, and he's going to be the guy who's going to lead the team in rebounds, going to lead the team in scoring because they're going to make an effort to go to him or else.
And that's what almost the opposite of that is if you go through him, it can probably take you a long way because he can be the consistent thing when everything else is maybe going haywire. You're not playing fast enough. You're playing too fast. You're playing out of control where, you know, hey, I can dump it down to this big man.
Yeah.
He's going to shoot a high percentage shot and probably make it.
Sure. This may be a stupid thing. We have 1 minute left or less than a minute. That said, and I don't wish ill on the team, obviously, but who can they least afford to lose? Injury or whatever. A guy named Mannion?
Yeah.
Or a guy named Zeke?
I think Nico. I think you can work around Zeke as much as I just talked about him, but I think Nico.
Well, Matt Moreno, hold on loosely to that thought. We'll go with some 38 special here on the break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. In with me is Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats, and behind the screen is Tom Callahan.
The true brains of the operation.
Yes, I'm just the pretty face of the radio world. They've probably perfectly placed on the radio. We're not doing a YouTube, are we?
No.
That's cool.
We are not.
We don't need evidence of this great looking guy you have back here.
No one needs to see it.
They can just trust you.
Yes. So let's talk, since we're talking basketball, continue there. Did you like what you saw from Arizona, or was it, you know my theory, it's who they play? They didn't play anybody.
But I thought they did what they needed to do against a team like that, which I think is positive. I think for them right now, it was just about finding some kind of footing after the ending of non-conference play with losing 3 of 4, and every good team, quote unquote, that they played, they struggled with and they didn't get a win. So I think for them heading into this week when they play Oregon and Oregon State on the road, I think it was important just to get their footing and have a game like that.
Yeah, for confidence or whatever factor, they're going to need it. Oregon at home is going to be very difficult. Oregon State at home is going to be very difficult. What did you make of the weekend of the Pac-12?
Some interesting games, some interesting results.
Interesting is a weird word, but a good word.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like football in a way where it's just my initial thought is everyone's going to beat each other in this league. And whoever comes out on top is going to be beat up and maybe not maybe prepared for the tournament, but maybe just too beat up to really go deep.
And they'll probably cannibalize each other.
Yeah, that was my first thought. This feels like football.
Yeah, and everyone was talking about, not everyone, but a few people, getting as many as six teams in the league into the tournament. If this happens, if this continues to happen, it's not going to get six teams in.
No, because there's not going to be enough wins.
Right.
And it's going to look, it's like football. It's going to look less impressive because they all just beat each other. Right. Well, that's not a good league. Look at all those teams with however many losses.
Right, right. In fact, I found Sean's answer to my question about the Pac-12. Maybe I didn't ask it pointed enough, but I just asked him what his thoughts of the league were because it was already crazy Saturday. And by Saturday night, it was already crazy. And then yesterday, what, Oregon State beats Colorado? And I think that was the only strange one.
Well, after Colorado beat Oregon, which right. I know obviously Colorado people thought very highly of going into the season. But when you look at where the two teams were heading into that game, for Oregon to get beat like that, I mean, it just that was the one result I think that I said, oh, this is going to be a crazy league.
You've been with me, you've known me for almost 10 years now, 8 years or so, and I come up with this crazy stuff. I can't come up with the right word, stuff. Another thing is how emotion plays in sports. I say that enough, right?
Yeah.
And don't you think that was the typical thing for Oregon versus Colorado and then following it back the next game where Colorado had to play Oregon State in a letdown game?
Yeah.
Where you get up for this huge game coming in and play out of your mind and then 2 days later lay an egg?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen that. That's sports.
It's sports.
That's sports.
No question.
That's why it's so hard to, especially in something like college basketball, win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy thing.
Right.
I think Arizona fans expect there to be more championships in Tucson. Everyone does. I think when you saw the opportunities they've had, you said those are good opportunities. But it's very, very difficult to win a national title, and that's why you have to, live with the result when you are able to win one.
Steve, I was going to say this plays into your point about momentum.
Yeah, yeah.
How you, or the lack of momentum and how you don't believe in momentum. And I know, Matt, we've talked about that too, from game to game or whatever. I think it can be the opposite. Like, you don't carry anything. In fact, you have that chance to fall flat next time out if you're not careful.
Very much so. It happens all the time. I think gamblers pay attention to that because it was almost primed. In fact, I heard some people that day when Oregon was going to play Colorado and saying, Oregon's going to go down here. In Colorado, they're going to go down. And sure enough, they went down. And they were down big a lot for most of the game. And they made a run and got beat. And you can kind of see that the enthusiasm for Colorado would be. And then I've seen it. I traveled with the basketball team a number of times where they always played poorly against the second team coming in. And like the Oregon States, because they had come off a big game against Oregon or Washington. Or Stanford and Cal. It always happens. You see it. I'm sure you saw it in hockey all the time.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I'm a big fan of reading the body language on a bench.
Yeah.
You can tell. When you look at a bench, you can tell if guys are up, if they're down, if they're tired, if they're emotionally spent, if they're excited, if they're in it. I think that makes all the difference in the world. I don't care who's on the ice or who's on the court or who's on the field, because your team is not just those guys. It's everybody. And I think that what's going on the bench is indicative of where your team's head is at.
Right, right. It's funny because I think we talked about this before, maybe about a month ago, a coach, and I can't remember which one. It was very obvious that the starters were not prepared to play against the team. So we just said, I'm taking you all out. I'm going to put in your bench. And if we're going to go down, we're going to go down with people who actually try hard or whatever. Eventually, he put them all back in. But that's what I would do. If the guys aren't ready to go, get them out and play with the rest of the guys. I know we're going to get beat by more, or at least you'd think so. Sometimes they just play out of their mind and hang tough. I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes they're just waiting for that moment to get in the game
and do
something that matters.
Right, right, right. You see it a lot here. Now, he's going deep still?
Yeah. I mean, Ira Lee's kind of seen his role kind of disappear a little bit. Dylan Smith for a little moment there kind of went quiet.
Are you okay? Not that you're okay with it, because you don't need to be okay with it. Is it surprising to you, or what's the word you want to use?
Not really.
Me either.
I think when you watch it, I think there's value in what Ira Lee, someone like Ira Lee, brings to the floor. But I think when you have so many options, you have to get the coaches are always going to do this, and they're going to play to their strengths. And if you have the ability to play Zeke Nagy or whoever 38 minutes, you're going to do that. We saw with DeAndre Ayton. Why are you going to take someone like that off the floor when, you know, he's a freshman and he's young? He's going to have the energy to do it.
Zeke, and then you have Stone, who's kind of very consistent, can do a lot more things than Ira. And then you have Koloko, who's coming on the scene, right?
Yeah.
So now he's like the fourth guy.
I think that's the one that's really, Koloko, really playing into
isn't
Ira.
Isn't that kind of cool, too, to see him? Well, yeah, not to see that he's, but Koloko coming through.
Yeah.
Because you need a guy like him.
Yeah. I mean, if you can get anything from him, I think it's a positive because of what he can do. And Sean Miller continues to harp on his defense and his ability to block shots. He's not, you know, setting the world on fire with his block shots, but I think his ability to change shots, just be a seven-footer in the middle of the lane is something that they don't have elsewhere.
Right.
And if you look at this last game, he scored more points than Chase Jeter, who was a starter. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of people on my message boards and just that I've seen on Twitter who are like, hey, let's make that move. Why don't you try and make that move, see what happens?
Let me. You've been doing this, what, 8 years now, 9 years now?
Yeah.
I don't want you to get in trouble with your users or your message people or whatever you call them.
They understand.
Are they good? Are they smart people or just commentary?
I like to think the people who, well, and again, there's message boards and there's some people who subscribe and just read the stories and don't ever comment on anything. Uh-huh. But of the people who do comment, it's a little bit older part of the family.
So they're realistic?
Yeah. I think they understand. They've seen the ups and downs.
Yeah.
So I think they still let their passion kind of flow. But I think they have a better understanding of everything and when it comes to Arizona basketball, and they don't get too high or too low as maybe you would see in younger fans or people who just aren't as familiar with it.
Right, but you see the younger fans, not that they don't see what's going on, they kind of have these grand illusions that don't make sense. Am I wrong?
Or there's people who are maybe my age who grew up when, you know, Arizona basketball was the thing, and that's what they know.
When they were 14.
Yeah, they've grown up knowing that, and that's what their expectation is. And
Well, and we've talked about this on the show, and I don't think I've talked with you, Tom, at all. They haven't played in the Final Four since 2001. They haven't gone to, well, they've gone to a couple Elite Eights, two or three Elite Eights. Is this a basketball school?
Yes, because it's not a football school, and that's the only other option.
That was going to be my answer.
That's really, I mean, like you laugh.
But it doesn't mean, you're backing into the answer.
Yeah, but what other choice do you have?
They're neither.
Well, are they a baseball school? The baseball team is actually pretty good on a consistent basis. They're a softball school, to be honest with you. That softball team's awesome.
So. In fact, I saw something from a former Dallas Cowboy guy when they hired, or they're going to hire McCarthy, whatever's in the Green Bay guy, McCarthy.
McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy.
Saying that an arrogance, like some kind of arrogance.
I'll have swagger?
No, it's a unjustified arrogance. We've talked about this, right? That Arizona, because they live in the past. Live in the past. God bless them. I've written 5 books, and I've been able to write 5 books because of it. But it's an arrogance that doesn't exist or shouldn't. Am I wrong?
I don't think so. I think that's also part of the mystique of what Arizona is. I think their only reason it's been able to continue going is because there is that arrogance about the fan base, if that's what you want to call it, an arrogance. I mean, I think they're about the program, about the school. I think there is that about it, but that's also what continues to keep you getting 5-star recruits and
all that. Well, he used that arrogance over the weekend in the halftime speech, didn't he?
Yeah.
We don't do that in
Arizona.
You
don't lay it up in Arizona.
Right.
You dunk.
You dunk it. Well, you'd hope you do. It's funny. I think the program's a great program. There's no question about that. It's done me wonders as a profession, but it's not what people think it is, I think.
I mean, when you're looking back at the decade or even the last 20 years, mm-hmm. Well, if you look back at the last decade only, I mean, just not the results you want to see.
That's what your resume is, isn't it? Do we have a caller? We got a caller?
We do. Scott is on line one and would like to talk some U of A hoops with you.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, Scott. Good to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in a while. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys.
Were you in the cell phone police area or something? What happened?
I just got caught up and busy with life and work, you know.
Okay, yeah. Got to make you happy. Stay happy over there. What's up? What's on your mind?
I just heard you guys talking about if U of A basketball and if they're a basketball school still. Definitely the talent level coming through U of A is a basketball school. All the draft picks and players who made the league not being drafted or going overseas, we're definitely getting the talent. Now, if you want to talk about March, you might say that we're not at the high level that we used to be, but we're still a basketball school, especially with the other sports not doing as well, but we're still there.
To your liking?
Definitely not. You can't keep coming up with eggs in March. You can't be losing to double-digit seeds. 3 years in a, the last three tournament runs, we've lost to double-digit seeds, and then last year we didn't even make the tournament. And since Miller's been the coach, unfortunately we've missed the tournament 30% of the time. And it's a lot different. When I grew up, it was the heyday with 25 tournament runs in a row and Lute Olson and multiple Final Fours. And even Lute had his issues with first round defeats and stuff like that. What really would be shocking, but within couple years later, we'd be hitting a Final Four at least. That kind of gave him
the pass.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Scott. Good to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah. I agree, don't you?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, though. I think he mentioned all the things that they won when he was really starting to watch. I think that it's you get kind of caught up in all this, and this is the norm. This is what it's supposed to be. That's what I'm saying. It's very hard to get to that point. That's why you have to almost enjoy it when it's happening, because
no question.
You could go into a decade like this one where, you know, where it's just not enough. It just doesn't feel like enough. Getting to it within one shot of the Elite Eight is not enough.
Right, right. We've seen enough of that. Well, it's been a while since 2015.
Yeah. It's been a long decade.
You were just a kid then. And I actually had less white hair. Are we ready to go to break? Already? Wow, okay. We'll come back here on 10:30 The Voice after the break. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. In with me is Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats. My boy Tom on the mic over there on the other side of the screen.
Just keeping it going, Steve.
Thank you. I need somebody to do that in my life, in my work, in a lot of different things. I need like a secretary. Matt, you available?
I'll see if I can find some time, Steve.
Okay, great. I need a chauffeur too, like a driver.
I can do that.
Driving Miss Daisy. Driving
I think you've asked me to do that multiple times. Yes,
when you had the Mercedes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mercedes. I still like this team. I think there's a lot of potential.
Yeah, we were talking off air, but I think it could be, it is one of their most talented teams, most well kind of put together teams in a long time. Mm-hmm. But I also think that there is maybe more holes in it on any of those good teams that we've seen before.
Well, which is the more glaring?
I think
shooting?
Shooting.
And that's surprising to me because this is a good shooting team.
Yeah.
Unless the bad guys are taking the shots. We'll know when they play somebody good. The Oregon, the Colorado. Do they go Colorado on the road? Colorado, Washington. I'll give you those three. Stanford, those four teams. Yeah. We'll see how they do against them. Because those are teams you face in the second round of the tournament. Definitely in the third round of the tournament.
I also think this team is not proven, and we know they're not proven, in terms of late game situations outside of the Pepperdine game.
Right.
They're just not proven in those late game situations and being able to get over that hump and finish out an opponent.
No, I totally agree.
They're either blowing them out or losing close games outside of that Pepperdine game.
Right. What did you learn from the losses?
A lot of things we've been talking about. I think that there's, like I said, a lot of holes in this team that if they can cover up with their ability to score and their ability to play defense to a certain extent, but that there's just a lot of holes in this team that could get exposed at the right time if they play the right opponent.
I can't remember if we talked about this on or off the air, but we're starting to see him bring in the reins a little, speed-wise,
yeah,
run-wise. It'll continue.
Yeah, I think so. And like we were talking about at the top of the show, just the rotation I think is going to get a little bit more tight. I think like I said, there's going to be more of the imprint of, this is familiar. This is a familiar Sean Miller type of team, but the pieces are very, very good. Nico Mannion is very, very good. Zeke Nagy is very, very good. Josh Green is very good.
I think Josh Green is very good when they let him be Josh Green.
Right.
Doesn't he
and that's, but that's the same conversation we were having to start the year. When I talked to you a year ago, I said they're going to go as far as they're allowed to go in terms of being able to play their game. Nico Mannion and Josh Green, what they do best is run and move fast, play in transition.
So if you stifle them, they're not going to be able to do that.
They're not as good.
Right.
To put it bluntly, they're just not as good when right. they can do it and they can be fine. But when you want players to play their best for you, and what those guys do best is play in transition.
It's what
we've
they
seen
do.
It.
Yeah.
Josh Green dunking all over the place. Mm-hmm. Nico Mannion getting the ball up the floor and getting it to guys like Josh Green. And
are you surprised that he's not shot the ball as well as he should?
That's been surprising in that he showed for a while that he could,
yeah.
and then it just not happened.
But if you're a shooter and you're a good shooter, you're a good shooter. And he's a good shooter, right? You've seen it in high school. You saw it a number of times. And that's what his MO. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I could be totally wrong. You gave me a look
think
like
I
I'm
thought
wrong.
When I thought of Nico Mannion, I didn't think of shooter first. I thought of that guy as a floor general.
Mm-hmm. And
a
he
point
is.
Guard,
and
a
he
point
is.
Guard.
That yeah. is. That's why I like him.
Whatever shots he makes, three point wise, that's a bonus. That's a plus. Mm-hmm. Because what he's going to do, what he does for your team is he is your point guard and he runs the team.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. Best, that's his job.
So, okay, so now that we know that they've had this discussion and Sean even says, I wish I would have done this earlier with roles, I think he did this for a reason now. Now we move on for the second semester, yada, yada. So now the roles that he told these kids, what are you going to do? John, what's Green's role? What's Green's role?
You need to play defense and you need to make shots and get to the basket.
Okay, make shots. They all have to make shots, but what about taking the shots? Because he's not a shooter. He's not a.
He can be.
Okay. So how many shots he takes in the game?
I don't know. I have to look.
7 to 10. No.
You're just saying.
If you're coaching him, how many are you going to have him take? No more than 10?
No. I don't know that I want anybody taking more than 10, maybe outside of Zeke.
Okay. No, we'll go there. Okay, so that's it. So be conservative. Do what you do. Play defense. Out athlete the other guy, and that's your role.
Yep.
Okay, so now Zeke?
Zeke's role is you need to rebound.
Rebound?
And you need to make shots in the post.
And score. Do what you do.
Yeah.
Do what you do. Run the court. Do well. Okay, now Nico, what's your role?
Run the team. That's what, like I just
said. And okay, don't shoot what?
17 shots or 20 shots or...
Okay, but you can shoot how many?
I would not probably want any of those guys taking more than 10.
Guess what he did yesterday or Saturday?
What'd he do?
9. You know how many Green shot?
7?
9.
Oh, 9?
So they both went 5 for 9. I think it was 5 for 9. So that's good? That's a good comfort level?
I don't mind that.
I don't think he minds that either. Because you definitely
on purpose.
I think that it was no it was I know you played ASU and it's hard to gauge how good you are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know, I'm listening to you guys talk, and what's going through my mind is, you know, maybe we can do this 1 through 3, and I'll be interested to hear your responses. But so, how much of this is coaching versus talent versus? Maybe recruiting the right pieces. So what I'm saying is you get two guys who can run like crazy, run up and down the floor.
Which they have.
But okay. You don't let them do it?
No,
Why do you bring those guys in? Or you try to restrict them, I should say.
Yeah, I try to restrict...
Why?
Trying to restrict them is not the right phrase, but you're right. There's no why. There's no answer for that, right?
Isn't that the frustration of... Arizona fans over the last decade?
Yes, of course.
So is that coaching?
That's style of coaching.
It's philosophy. And it's not wanting to divert from your philosophy.
Let me ask you this, and this may be a bad analogy. Tom, so you come here every day or whatever, 4 days a week.
Sure.
Do you take the same route every day?
Generally, yes.
Why?
Because it's how I know to get here.
And that's who Tom is.
Right.
This is who Sean is. Does that make sense? He's driven this route every day for the last 10 years, 11 years. This is what he knows, and this is what he does.
See, but Tom is smart enough that if the road is littered with potholes, to find another road that's not.
Okay, good point. Now we'll see if that's the case with who we just talked about.
But do you honestly think it is? Like, I mean, does the leopard change its spots?
No. If you're asking me to answer that question, no. Where do you go with this?
Yeah, I mean, I think... again, that's the frustrations of Arizona fans. Why don't they play more zone? Why don't they? Why is it so hard for them to play against the zone? There's a lot of questions like that where it's things where it's not, he's not smart enough. We know how smart
he is.
Oh,
he's a fantastic smart guy.
One of the smartest people you'll probably ever come across in the
sports
world. I
totally agree with you.
Maybe
agree.
Just in life. But there's a stubbornness, I guess, is maybe the word. And I'm going to stick to my philosophy. I think the thing that stood out to me when he was talking, when there's that lead up to the Gonzaga game and he was talking about Gonzaga, he said they have a system. They know how to do what they're doing. The faces change. The names change. You really don't even need a certain type of player, a certain skill level of player, a unique player. They just get them in and get them out, and they stick to what they do. And I said, that's what,
it's a want.
Yeah, that's what
want.
I think he envisions is, I'm just going to roll guys in and out of here. I'm going to replace, there'll be a new Nico, there'll be a new Josh Green or whoever, whatever the template is, and I'm just going to roll guys in here, and we're going to continue to succeed.
So, Tom, that's to your third point, the players.
Yes. So, and also, I mean, recruiting too. You know, why don't you recruit? If you want to play a certain style, you can get the sexy five-star, but if he doesn't fit on your team, what good does it do you?
Well, I think we've seen that.
Go on Twitter when Arizona lands a three-star recruit instead of a five-star recruit.
I don't like going on Twitter most of the time.
But you'll see.
Bless his heart, and I've said this when I've written stories in the past, Sean created a monster. He's created a monster, and he has to feed this monster every year. He talked about this a couple of days ago, two, 3 days ago, talking about there's seven new players playing. Guess what's going to happen next year? It's what he does.
Yeah.
It's not by design. It's just what happens. The way he recruits, it's like, you know, well, we all know. It's like having seven new faces that you have to feed every time. There's not going to be a cohesion or cohesiveness.
Well, that's exactly what Kentucky's done.
Yes.
Kentucky's hung out the sign, come here for 1 year.
And Calipari is the most overrated coach in my view because he's gotten this great players. How many titles does he have to show for it? Uno. And everyone thinks he's a great coach. Using that philosophy, this great coach has pulled off what? One championship. I don't know if...
There's only one of those. One of those teams.
Yes.
Right. And if you're not that...
And he's failed with some fantastic teams.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, there's only one of those programs. Kentucky can do that.
Duke has kind of fallen into that a little bit. Look what happened to them last year with the best team.
Yeah.
It didn't work. It doesn't work. You have to have, not that Gonzaga is going to win the national title this year. You have to be what the Zags are doing right now, kind of fitting the right pieces. And they may not win a title, so we'll talk about this in April. But
they'll be in the conversation. They'll be in the conversation every year. And I think that's what Sean was maybe getting at more, was that it's not, there is no lull for them. There is, like the caller was talking about, if they miss it, you know they're going to be back at some point soon.
Right.
If they miss the Final Four or they miss the Elite Eight, you know they're going to be back at some point soon. I think that's what Sean is getting at, that I have this kind of template in place and I just switch out the names and the bodies and the players and we keep it moving.
So do you hope, because you're out recruiting, you see him and you're there all the time, do you hope that he's thinking, I'll get this guy and maybe they'll stay a second year? I'm going to get this guy, it's going to be a 1 year.
You have a pretty good feel already of who...
Sure.
Who wants to leave?
Sure.
So you go into it knowing I'm going to lose this guy. And that's the difficulty in there. Arizona's in a weird gray area because they're not Kentucky and they're not Duke and they're not
Gonzaga now
or Kansas or a school like that. In terms of recruiting, you know you're going to be able to replace five stars every year. We saw last year that wasn't the case. Obviously, it was a strange situation the way everything played out. They just didn't get that a bunch of five star guys. This year, they might only end up with one. So it's you're not the upper echelon, but you're above everybody else still, but you're trying to fit together pieces that, okay, we need to make sure that there's a guy that is, you know, junior and a senior, but we also need to leave room for the star freshman. And you're trying to fit together pieces when you don't even know what's going to happen with your current roster. And that's the difficult situation.
Right.
At Kentucky, he knows everybody's gone, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
He can offer starting jobs. He can offer whatever he wants, and he knows that there's going to be openings.
Is he in trouble? And this is a dumb, naive question, but I should know this kind of thing. Calipari's not in trouble, right? Because he's bringing in the guys, they're winning, and then they're failing. I think if he's anything, he should be in trouble because he's failing.
The interesting thing will be with him is when they change the NBA rule, and he doesn't have that weapon anymore. What does Kentucky become?
Yeah.
It's going to change the game for a lot of people. It's going to change. And I think Sean Miller could be very successful in that era.
I agree with you. Kind of like Xavier.
Yeah. I mean, because you're going to, the people who are the very, very top, your typical five stars of this era right now, Nico Mannion, guys like that, are not here.
Yeah.
They don't even, college is not an option for them. They're going straight to the league.
Sure.
So the top talent ends up kind of dropping down, and then you're back to just, you know, recruiting the guys who are going to have to stick around for a while.
Right, or you can coach, who are coachable or whatever. Yeah. Are you ready to go on break? You're giving me that sign there, Tom.
I went on break an hour ago, Steve.
Well, thank you, Tom, for helping me out. I'll make sure they pay you for this hour.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
You can break here at 10:30, The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30, The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and with me is Matt Moreno of Go Easy Cats, Tom behind the screen. Good discussion. We can always talk about basketball all the time. Are they going to win the conference?
I don't know. I'm not sold on
really?
That yet. I'm not sold on that yet. I think it's going to be a very crazy couple of months.
They were picked third, I think it was?
After this
third
week,
or fourth? Fourth.
They're
not going to finish fourth.
No. They're top three.
Top three, right.
Maybe so, top two.
Yeah. They have a lot of, like you say, a lot of holes. But I still like this team a lot.
Yeah, I don't think I'm not so much concerned with the holes at this point in the year, and even in conference play, I'm more concerned about the holes when you get into, if you don't win, you're going home. And
yeah,
the way we've seen Sean Miller's teams at Arizona lately kind of go out is you go, yeah, we saw that in whatever game in December. So we know they're capable of that, and you go, it's not surprising. I don't think there's been any surprising losses.
So this will happen in March some point. Matt's going to say to you and I, Tom, you guys were right. They went 5-for-20 from the field, from the 3-point line. And, well, part of that shot, Matt, was Zeke didn't touch the ball.
Yeah, it could be. That's the thing. It could be a combination of all the things.
Right.
And that's what sends them out. But I still think they're a talented enough team to go very, very deep.
Oh, I do too. And you got to catch lucky and, again, catch some breaks. There's no true great team.
And this is if you're going to be a team that is kind of boom or bust, this is the year because
they're all like that.
I would not want to be number one, but I think for a program like Arizona, a team like Arizona right now, if you can hang around the top 25 and make a run at the end of the season,
mm-hmm.
get a top 3 seed, 4 seed, you're going to be fine. I know we've talked about this off air. I always bring it up. You get to stay in the West. I know you say that doesn't matter, but you get to stay in the West and you hope an easier path.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think a 2 seed and a 4 seed are much different.
No.
2 seed, 3 seed, 4 seed, it's not that. Maybe even a 1, given what we've seen. You have a team?
Not really. I mean, I used to when I was younger, I would pick teams, because Buffalo's not a college town.
Right.
So we don't really have
it. It was 2-3 years ago.
For UB football, it has been recently, but I mean, other than that, I got to be honest with you, Steve. It's just I like college basketball when it's like it is with parity.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy, and I know it drives fans crazy, but I like seeing top 10 teams get knocked off every week and seeing the whole thing just thrown into a blender and see what comes out of it. Because to me, then that makes it more compelling to watch a game. No matter who's playing,
mm-hmm.
I think that is when I become more engrossed in what's going on. When it's a wire-to-wire 1-2-3 finish every year, it's who cares?
Yeah, it hasn't been like that. Has it been? Virginia won it last year.
A few years ago, there was pretty...
Who was it? Not Kentucky.
Maybe the North Carolina year?
Maybe that was the 17.
Yeah.
When they
it was
went
kind of chalk. I think it was a lot of number ones were in, like made it
Oregon,
all the way.
Yeah. Oregon. Who else? North Carolina, Oregon. South Carolina, and I can't remember that. I was at the Final Four, and I can't remember what it was. I can't remember. So we'll see what happens. I do like the team. They can't afford key injuries, obviously, and who can?
Yeah.
But
that's a given.
That's a given. I'm thinking Coloco can come in. Smith, who else is out there? Well, and they have capable shooters. We just haven't seen it enough with Baker and Hazard. What's up with that?
That's been very interesting to me, is that those guys have just gone so quiet.
Yeah.
Coloco had the most bench points.
Yeah.
And I think he played the fewest minutes maybe off the bench.
I think he had 17. Okay, well, what's his name? Stone had 13, 17 minutes or whatever it was.
I think Coloco only played 10, like 10 and a half.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
11 minutes.
I think I learned everything I needed to learn about Sean Miller's confidence in the bench in the Baylor game.
And which was what?
I don't think he has much.
Well, he's just not a bench guy.
Like but it just, at some point in that game, when everybody is terrible, you know, you would mix it up. You go to your bench, you'd say, all right, maybe somebody comes in, provides a spark, something happens, yeah. Stir the pot, get it going. And that was not the case. No. And that told me everything I needed to know about what he thinks about seats 6+.
Well, it's funny because even when they're up by 20, 25, he doesn't even go to the deep, deep bench. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
With about a minute left. You know the guys are dying to get in, and they're up by 20, and they barely get a minute or less than a minute.
Just want to go hi mom to the camera and
yeah, or something, you know get an assist or a shot.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't do that very. He's never really has. And that's just who he is. And that's fine.
If you're making a lot of money, you might as well go with the guys that are your most talented.
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't know anything about that. Wouldn't know. Would you know, Tom?
I do not.
You don't. Three of us. Well, we're all in the same boat. Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria.
You're in the wrong business.
We're in the Titanic.
I'm in the dinghy room behind you guys. You're in real boats.
Yeah, you guys know who the Edmund Fitzgerald is?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, you don't, do you? Too young. You're too young. We'll see what happens. No, listen, if you want to talk, I like talking about the UA basketball team. Oregon State, what's after that?
I believe the Mountain Schools.
They come here?
I think.
Think it's going to be a crazy.
Yes.
It's going to, who? What? How many losses are the is the titleist going to have?
That's a tough one. I don't know.
Four or five.
Yeah.
Four or five, and everybody else, you know, five, six, seven. Yeah, it doesn't. It's not going to look good. But other conferences are going to suffer the same fate.
The thing for Arizona, yeah, of course. But I think the thing for Arizona is win the games you're supposed to win. I don't know that you're supposed to win on the road against Oregon.
No,
if you do, it's a plus.
Right. You know, did you see that stat I saw yesterday? Oregon has won 6 of 8 against Arizona.
I was thinking about that. I didn't see that stat, but I was thinking about that and just...
6 of 8. Yeah. Give me the best teams in the West. The best, guess best teams, best programs.
Gonzaga's number one.
Yeah. And it's been that way for a while.
Yeah. Oregon's up there.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona.
St. Mary's.
Maybe Colorado.
Washington.
Yeah. Washington's getting there.
Uh-huh. I think that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, there aren't too many good teams. And everyone talks about the bias. There's a bias for a reason. Yeah. There's not very many good teams. We'll see. It's pretty interesting. Thank you for doing the old stats here. Arizona, Stanford, UCLA, Oregon State, UCLA. What up with that? What's up with them?
They just don't have good players.
And they beat Washington.
Yeah,
doesn't make any sense.
Well, and then Jake Kyman, who went off in one of the games, just doesn't play the next game.
Yeah.
One of their shooters. It was just
Washington State, Utah, Washington, Colorado, USC. USC's not as good as we think, right?
No, another. They're like Washington to me, where a lot of talent, but what do they really have outside of that? They're not that great.
The worst team in the league could be Arizona State.
Yeah.
Could be. They were horribly bad. Couldn't shoot. Couldn't do much. House is one of the keys. Holy moly.
Well, it was funny. During one of the plays, I forgot which one, Bobby Hurley looked at his bench, and he kind of just like looked away like, oh, there's no one left. He was looking for someone who wasn't there.
Yeah.
They're just...
Eddie House is not coming through that door. Actually, he was at the game. I ran into him. There was a lot of guys, Jared Bayless and Pete Williams, guys like that. We'll see what happens. It's just a crazy time right now. It's going to be a long, cool, I think not a long, it's going to be a quick two and a half months.
Yeah.
And then who knows in the Pac-12 tournament? Could be anybody.
Yeah, I think for Arizona right now, and we'll see what happens with the season, see how this weekend goes, but I don't think losses are as horrible this year.
No,
and they're not going to matter as much.
I totally agree. And don't jump off the ledges because they lose. But people do that. How do they react in losses on the board?
I mean, like everybody else, but I think they understand that, you know, it all depends what it looks like, what they look like in that loss. But I think if it's a close game, if they lose to Oregon and you say they both played well and, you know, they just lost, they're okay with that.
So how has the fan base changed since your first couple years of handling your website and then to now?
We were talking about this before too. I think the openness to maybe another head coach one day, for a while it was, no, this is the guy that's going to lead them where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think now there's more fans who are saying, hey, we have however many, a decade of results.
Mm. Well, you made a great point that I have never really thought of that. It was what, in the decade?
They didn't win a Final Four they didn't get to the Final Four for the first time since you know, this whole thing started. Yeah, this whole thing
since
started.
Since 1970.
Yeah.
Because they went in 88, they went in 94, 97, obviously,
mm-hmm.
2001. That was it?
Yeah.
Thanks for depressing my listener.
Well, so now, Steve, what you go back to talking about the template, and Matt was talking about the template. So if it's a round of 32 template, is that good enough?
No.
It's not a Final Four template,
no.
Quite obviously. But for the last 10 years, that's basically what you've gotten is a round of 64, a round of 32 template. That's what you're plugging in. Your players, you're plugging into this vision of what you want to see on the floor. That's your result.
Yeah.
I think in the head coach's mind, it's not, though. I think
right.
He thinks with the right pieces, if he finds that right group, then it's not a round of 32 type of template.
Right. Well, and he had young.
And who's going to tell him that he's no not one. Correct?
Well, in 2014, 2015, they had that Elite Eight template with a basket or two away from getting to the Final Four. And everyone says, oh, Wisconsin. Wisconsin was good. Wisconsin was good.
Yeah, that was a good team.
And so was Arizona.
Yeah.
And that one day, you play out of your mind. And you had a chance with the shot from Johnson.
Yeah.
They had a shot with UConn.
The funny thing is this. I think most Arizona fans who understand the game, understand what's going on, will say if he had a Xavier-esque team here,
yeah,
he probably goes to the Final Four, maybe wins a national title. He's not allowed to put that type of team here.
Right.
Not allowed to put that type of team together here.
Right. But let me tell you something, too. Last year's team was not a Xavier-type team, but it was not an Arizona-type team.
No.
That's for darn sure. I totally agree with you, except the circumstances here doesn't allow you.
No, it'll never
doesn't allow you to do that. Doesn't allow you to do that, which is, you know, sad to say. But I think he's a better coach under those conditions.
Yeah. He wants players to listen to him.
Yeah, yeah.
He would be perfect. It's not that big of an ask for a head coach to want players to listen to you, but it's difficult at this level.
Well, times have changed, no question. In fact, I asked him about that. For time, you know, kids today, he says, well, I don't want to be the
there
spokesman.
There you go. He didn't want to answer because he knows the answer.
Yeah.
He knew what he wanted to say.
Yeah. You know why I asked.
Yeah.
Because I knew what he would say, but he didn't want to say it.
No.
Well, you know, this mind game, Tom, I want you to do this, Tom. We'll have to say goodnight.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll try it again tomorrow.
Good night, Tom.
Good night, Tom. Good night, DeWalton. Good night, Grandpa.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, John Boy. That's what I meant to say. Good night, Matt. Thanks for coming in.
Good night, Steve.
Talk to everybody tomorrow here on 10:30 The Voice.